Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Elizabeth Best sits across from me.
I
what
do.
What is the straight male equivalent of finding a live, love, laugh sign in a decoration? That seems to be the woman who put up the live, love, laugh in their
like
home.
Like, that's an instant, like,
that's kind of
red flag,
you're
goodbye.
Basic. That's what we're saying.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Basic if we see that.
That's basic male.
That seems to be our common...
No bed frame.
No bed frame, yes. This is such a big issue that comes up time and time again. Men that have the mattress on the floor.
Yeah.
No bed frame.
No bed frame. Or only... one armchair, like not a couch.
Ah, yeah. Right. You're just, yeah. You're so insular.
Walk in, you're basic. Yeah, yeah. But I think that's arrested development more than like a decorating choice, right?
Yeah, that is true. But I'll accept it as an answer. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful point. Yeah, something wrong with the mat with not with the mattress.
If I walk into a guy's room and he has his mattress on the floor, I'm turning around and walking out. I'm sorry.
If my partner starts putting up the live, love, laugh.
Yeah,
decoration on the wall. I'm laughing in their face and inquiring when it's like, good joke. When's it? But no, but seriously, when's it?
I'm in the middle of doing a cross stitch for someone that says live, laugh, loathe, and I'm into that one.
Fine,
yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
I'm all about it.
Yes. But no, I don't. Or like believe. Up on the wall anywhere, like believe. Yeah. Believe
in
what?
That's right.
Nothing to believe in anymore. The world's a garbage dump.
I don't know. There might be a straight male equivalent. Is it a neon sign, like a drinking sign?
Beer merch.
Beer merch, yeah. The
footy jersey. I don't know. Can we post this in the group,
Absolutely,
Tom? Can you make
we
a
can,
note
yes.
to post this in the group today and find out what...
Bother
we think.
The group with inane bullshit. There
okay,
we go.
Okay, great. And we'll ask everybody, like, not just what's a male thing. I want to what do you
Please.
See when you walk into someone's house and go, you're basic?
You're kidding, right?
Yeah.
That's what you.
Yeah.
That's what you've dialed your
Red
personality
flag,
up
I'm
to.
Leaving.
Yeah. hello, one and hello all to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past. I'm a very sleep-deprived Tom Harris. You may have picked that up. Elizabeth Best, I mentioned before. Ding, ding, ding. How
Hi.
Are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm slightly less sleep-deprived. But more stressed.
Ah,
I'm running
yes.
on cortisol
yes.
at the moment.
I'm just,
it's great.
I'm just not running at all. You join us on a main episode of Ghosts of Boyfriends Past, where we bring in a guest to have a natter, walk us through a traumatic, weird, all and sundry dating experience. We listen, we learn, we laugh, we live, we love.
Get out. You're fired.
Oh, God. It's 2 weeks in a row I've been warned live on
no.
air.
You're this close. One more throw. Three strikes and you're out, Harris. Oh,
very good.
So we have a guest for this main episode. And because we listened, I mean, this is unusual. We're having two main episodes in a row. And there's a reason for that. It's because we have an actor from the show Bombshells, which is what Jess Hamm from Jess Hamm Productions came in and talked about last week, was this show that's going on in Brisbane. So we wanted to make sure that we got both of the stories in before the show goes up. So we've got today with us, we've got Libby Harrison, actor, business owner of a role-playing company called AdLib, an entrepreneur extraordinaire. Libby Harrison, welcome.
Thank you very
Come
much.
Come on down.
Now, Libby, you are in this wonderful show, Bombshells, that's going up in April, which is now, by the time this airs. You're playing two characters.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the characters that you're playing before we get into your story.
Okay, so there's six characters in total, three women, so we each get two. And we wanted to do contrasting characters. So my first lady is Tiggy Entwistle, and she's a very shy lady who is giving a talk on cactus and succulents. And her husband's just left her. And somewhere through the story of delivering this speech on her succulents, she kind of loses the plot and decides to tell everyone about the ex-husband.
Amazing.
Who's walked out on her.
Amazing. I feel like we could have had her in character on this
podcast.
Yes,
that would have been a great idea. Oh, well.
Yes, well, there are, you know, there's a line in it that when she completely loses the plot and thinks she's talking to Harry, where she says, as if a fat, balding, 49-year-old lactose intolerant fair infringement officer is going to set anyone on fire. And I just really like it.
So good. You'll fit in here, Libby. Right.
But to make it even better, we need a photo of Harry, the ex-husband, as part of the show. And I asked my husband if he would do it. And then told him that's the description of him. And he's all for it. So,
good. Yeah, bless. Good
he's
man.
He's all for it. So my second character is Teresa McTerry, and she's a bride getting ready for her wedding day. And she's extremely excited and very Australian. So she's getting ready for her wedding day. And then it kind of hits her what's happening. And, you know, as she's walking down the aisle, she's like, I'm not quite sure that I want to do this anymore.
Awkward.
So, yeah. So she's kind of reasoning it out with herself, I suppose, and seeing where she's going to end up. But, she has an interesting time at the wedding. Yeah.
Nice.
A lot of lines to learn and different moods and energies you've got to match and not get caught between. You can't take one energy into a different character because you've forgotten that. Hang on, that's not their energy.
Completely different energies.
There's mental gymnastics up the wazoo over here.
Mm. That's totally right. Thank goodness there's an intermission between us.
That's right. Dash to the script and read over it.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
So before we get into your stories, we have rules. I don't like rules. Rules are boring. But the lawyers tell us in the corner, they keep nodding to me and say, we have to do the rules.
In a cool, edgy way, you could say that rules are meant to be broken, but not our rules.
Nope.
Right?
The lawyers
not our
will
rules.
Have our butts.
And this isn't for you, Libby. Every guest gets this, and we repeat these rules for new readers to this show that come along and wonder what the hell's going on here. So Libby's here to tell a story or stories about dating gone by. So the first one we ask for is an alias. Generally, yes. Most guests come on and they use an alias for someone because they need to. We don't want people, you out there, piecing together who Libby's talking about and then doxing. Information comes out, workplaces, and then all that.
And that leans into our don't be a dick rule, where if you figure out who Libby's talking about, don't be a dick, because you're going to spoil it for everybody. Because this whole podcast is about what we learned from these experiences. It's not about giving people hell because they've been absolute dickwads. And that comes to our third rule, which is no threats on air.
On air.
So I retract the dickwad.
let's try. Okay.
I didn't threaten them. No. I just called them a name.
No, that's an insult is fine, I think. It's not a threat, you dickwads. So that's rules. That's our guest. That's our format.
So Libby, tell us, like, where are we starting with your story / maybe stories today?
Well, I thought, after listening to your beginning, that red flags is possibly the topic.
Amazing.
Really. You know, starting from dating experiences. Now, a red flag for me is going into a man's house, and if he's over 25, he should not have a upside down milk crate with a with a tea towel on it as a coffee table.
Yes.
Yeah.
No milk crates allowed unless they are actually crating milk.
Crating milk. And realistically these days, unless you're working at Woolies, why do you have a milk crate?
Yeah. Where are you getting
where
the milk
do they
crate
come
from?
So that would be a red flag. I dated a guy who loved Star Wars, and that's great because I love Star
Libby's
Wars.
Libby's literally sitting
She's
here in a Star Wars t-shirt right now.
In a Star Wars t-shirt. But he was obsessed with it.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a certain line that you get to as a fan where if you cross that, there's no coming back.
It's just calm down. It's a movie about space wizards.
It's real. How dare you?
Let's not get too uppity about who, lore and all that.
How obsessive are we talking?
Well, we did the midnight screening when episode...
Okay, that's fairly normal.
Fine, so we did that. But he borrowed my sewing machine that he could make a Jedi outfit.
Okay.
My spare room was covered in Hessian because the majority of the outfit was made out of Hessian. Mm-hmm. So there were the bits of Hessian fluff everywhere.
It just makes me itchy thinking about it. Because I have allergies and I'm pretty sure Hessian sets me off. So I'm just like,
So that was pretty hideous. Okay, so I'm talking about red flags. I went out with him for a year. Uh-huh. Yeah, because I was a little bit blind to the... I was a bit blind to the flags, but I kind of... Because he was also very unemployed.
Very unemployed. Very. Not just unemployed, very.
Very, very unemployed. It was excuse after excuse. And I was working, so it was kind of nice. We never lived together, but I would sometimes go past his place on my way home from work and he would like to cook dinner and stuff because his flatmate was employed. So he would just take all the food because she was a chef. He would take all the food that she, she brought home and prepare it. So I got nice food that he hadn't paid for himself. And I'd have a decent meal and everything and then I'd stay or go home. But eventually I thought, how am I going to get myself out of this? So I moved to Sydney.
There we go. That might be the pinnacle, the best we've had on Ghost of Boyfriend Bastards. I'm moving out of state.
Yeah. So I thought, this is just going to sort of peter away. But I was working at Fox Studios in Sydney.
Oh.
When we opened the backlot tour down there, which was meant to be a little bit like Movie World, but a bit edutainment sort of thing. And it was a massive failure. But in the beginning, they were filming some of the other Star Wars down there. So he came down because he's like, oh, my God, you work at Fox and I could get into Star Wars and, and I want to meet Steven Spielberg and all of this sort of thing. So that didn't last, thank goodness. He came down for a little holiday and not Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, I was doing the math in my head.
George Lucas, yes. Scrap that. That's a post. Let's fix that in post.
no, let's draw attention to it.
He was there. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. So he disappeared and came back up here and eventually just sort of petered away. About 2 years later, when I realised that Sydney's a bit of a hole, I came back up and I was at karaoke on the Gold Coast, as you do. And he was there. And he was dating somebody else and everything, so that was terrific. But I said, how you going? And he said, I'm still on the rock and roll. And that was enough for me to go, geez, I made a good decision there. Especially when he called it the rock and roll and he was, mid-30s. And then he said, sometimes I just really want to fly off to Endor or something, it'd be so much nicer. So then all the red flags were poking out.
They're neon signs by this point.
Yes. Yeah. They were going crazy. So that was the end of, we'll go with Luke for his name.
Luke.
One more thing though. He had said if ever we did have kids together, he wanted
Luke and Leia or something.
It was going to be Anakin.
Oh, very good.
Boy or girl, it was going to be Anakin.
No, you can't. Yeah. You can't. With names that recognised, you just can't.
I'm sure there's now some 20-year-old Hermiones in the world.
And there's a couple of Daenerys's that are going to be feeling pretty shit about the fact that they named their kids Daenerys after what happened in Game of Thrones.
Yes. So that was him done. I went out with a guy when I was in Sydney who was when I met him I hated him.
That is a solid basis for a relationship.
Yes. I hate you.
Hated him.
Let's get it.
Let's
on.
Date.
Yeah. Let's try. So we were both working at Fox and he was working in security. And he was one of these rules. And there is no grey in his world.
Oh, I've dated that. No.
So, yeah. Yeah. So I had 40 staff under me and we had just gone through the process of how they go through the gates and how they pick up their radios and uniforms and all of this. And then the rules changed to something ridiculous and this guy decided that he needed to enforce that. So I had staff coming up saying, hey, security won't let me do the process. And, so I hated him when I first met him. Then I went to a film premiere for Robin Williams' Bicentennial Man.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And this guy was there and he was very, very tall.
And then I liked him.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, so no. Yes.
That was attractive,
I knew it,
right?
I knew it.
Oh, no.
We've raised this on past episodes.
Yes.
Why height?
It was attractive. It was, but also because I was at this film premiere and there were a lot of people there, he could hold the camera up higher than I could. So I got some great photos of Robin Williams simply because this guy was taller.
That is a good reason to sleep with someone.
I thought so.
I hate you, but you're 6'1". So.
Yeah. So can you hold the camera for me?
Thanks.
So we kind of hit it off after that. Too much tequila.
Film premieres, like I was going to say, there's usually some booze flowing. Everyone looks a little bit better than they normally do. It's all a bit fairy tale-ish.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, yes. And we ended up like because it was at Fox Sports at Fox Studios and in the bathrooms, the floors are painted like different sports things. So we were I can't remember what was in the girls' netball things and all of that, but the boys had like basketball things painted on the floor. And so he wanted to show all of us. So all the girls ended up on his sort of say-so, coming into the boys' loos to check out where they were aiming and whether they were getting in the goalposts and, you know, and all of this because of all this painting that was around there.
So was this like an I'll show you mine if you show me your situation?
Yeah, kind of deal.
He did end up in the girls' toilet. So, yeah, yeah.
Slow man.
So, yes. So he was separated from his wife and currently couch surfing with lots of different friends. So when we got together, it made sense for him to move in.
Yes. No,
yes,
like
no.
4 weeks down the track.
It makes sense, Liz. No. What? You're not seeing it, Liz.
It made sense.
Libby, make it make sense.
No.
Yeah.
No.
He doesn't have a
so
place to live, right?
So many people have fallen into
Libby
this trap.
Has place
yes.
to live.
Yes.
Put the two together.
I've fallen
makes
into
sense.
This trap. I made them move out and get their own
totally.
Place again eventually because, my God, no.
Yeah. No, it was when I spoke earlier about the guy with the overturned milk crate, this guy didn't even have a milk crate.
You died
yeah.
for a
he
milk crate.
He was so bad that there was no milk crate. So yeah, he moved in after like 4 weeks. And I lived in Sydney. I lived in a shoebox. So we kind of went, we should move to somewhere a bit larger.
A bit bigger.
Yeah. Now, wait, this is an extra step. So moving in because he just needs somewhere to stay to getting a place that suits us both together are very different things, Livia.
Yeah, yeah.
They're both not good.
No, it was way too quick.
Liz, they've been together a month, okay?
Oh, that makes sense.
I don't think you're in a position to bring up any qualms. So you move to a bigger place, you take that step?
We started looking at bigger places.
Yeah.
And in Sydney, this was late 90s into 2000, and in Sydney back then, rentals were all open home. So you did 15-minute stints. It's open for 15 minutes and then you all run to the next place and it's open for 15 minutes.
It's still like that. Yeah, like I lived awful. There in, 2013 to 2016, and we ended up giving our applications before we even entered the property because it was brutal. We were racing the same couples to the same houses.
Mm. Yes, that's what it was like. So we, because neither of us had a car. Well, I don't know whether he did, the ex-wife, I don't know. But we didn't have a car because I sold mine when I got to Sydney. So we hired a car one weekend because we were doing it all on public transport and it just wasn't working. So we hired a car. We had about 3 or 4 weeks of doing that, looking at places and madly filling in all the applications and sending things off. And
it's an adrenaline sport in Sydney.
Yeah, faxing. I mean, who faxes? So,
yeah. In the 2000s, who faxes?
Faxes. So we got somewhere approved and I had given notice at my place and I paid the deposit for the new place because, you know, he was, and Liz knows where
someone
this is
had,
going.
Someone so had to, Liz.
Someone had to pay the deposit.
So much sense. So, he has no deposit. Libby has deposit. It's, that makes sense.
Someone yes. had to, right.
Yes. And about a week before we were due to move, I was going to work. And he'd had a bit of a cold, so he wasn't going to work at that stage. And when I left the house, I just thought something's weird. You know, something's...
You get that feeling.
Yeah. Something was Something's off. Something was off. And the night before, he had sat up for hours watching telly and all and because he was sick and, you know, and I'd gone off to bed. And so I left and he was still asleep, but something was weird. So I tried... At about lunchtime, I tried calling his mobile and he didn't answer, so I left a message. And then I thought, oh, man. And it was weird. It was like it didn't ring long enough, you know, before it went to voicemail. So I rang the house, the unit that we're in, and I left a message there as well because I had an answering machine back then.
Mm-hmm.
So I left a message on there as well and just sort of said, you know, I hope you're okay and feeling all right and looking forward to get home. I'll try and finish a bit early, all of that. And then when I came home, everything was gone. All of his stuff was gone.
Whoa.
So I came home to his key and a note on the table. The red light of my message flashing on the answering machine and everything that... You know, that was his in the house was gone. And the note said, I thought I'd better go back and try with the ex-wife.
Oh, he did not.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. He broke up with you via note and just fucking leaving.
Yep. And then to make
that
it worse.
That is not where I thought that was going. Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to come home at lunch and there was going to be another girl in your house or something.
Oh, right.
Be honest, everyone listening right now, who genuinely put your hand up if you thought you saw that coming.
No.
My hand is not up. No. My hand is down. No. I did not see that coming.
Wow.
So something in your brain went, he's not really sick. He's plotting and scheming. It didn't make sense.
But
and then,
I don't know whether this is... just a women's intuition thing or whether but there have been so many times when on the surface nothing has been wrong and my gut has gone something's not right.
Something's not right.
Almost always been proven right.
Yep. The stupid thing was so many stupid things. But in that note he said I really need to try and work on things with the ex-wife. You know, I didn't tell you but she'd been contacting me a lot and all of this. Can you please be respectful and let us have some time?
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going
to... And don't get in contact.
No. My instinct then was just to do the wank motion in the air. Yeah. No, absolutely not. No.
So I...
So then that makes you seem crazy.
Yeah.
Because please you're not... being. I asked you to be respectful when I fucking ghosted you after we were about to move in my house and you...
So, yeah, but press I stupidly...
Press the button.
It's hard to dump scale, but...
I know that it's already over, but, like, no.
Yeah. Well, then, but stupidly, I don't know, stupidly or not. But when in this note it said, you know, I'm dumping you, and please be respectful and don't contact me for a little while. I didn't because he said
you're
not
a respectful human.
So, I guess so. But then he would start messaging me. Are you okay? I'm really worried about you. Are you all right? He's the one
what
who
a
put
shame
me
emojis
in that situation.
Aren't there because you could have just sent back a finger.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, no emojis then.
But he was one of those, everything became around. I'm really worried about you. I'm not sleeping properly because I'm, you know, I'm worried
he
about
you. He wants
his
cake and eat it too. Right. He wants to be able to fuck you off, but 100. Have you go, that's okay, I'm being like, no, get out.
Yes. So that the relationship ended there, but I guess every time, like I'd date somebody for a while and then, you know, and then you forget that that guy was a bit of an idiot. And if I was lonely, I'd sort of text him or something and say, you know, how are you? And well, by this stage, we're living in separate places. So it wasn't like a, how are you?
Yeah.
You know, it was just a, I'm lonely and want somebody to talk to. But it always, and then we friended each other on Facebook and all of this and everything. But everything was all about him, you know. I had this is a girl thing, but I had an abnormal pap smear once, which happens from time to time, and you have to go back in and get a second one, which was then all clear. But we were talking on the phone. I said, oh, I've got to go back and get this second pap smear. And he was texting me until I had it done. Oh, my God, I'm so worried about you. I'm so worried about you. I haven't been able to sleep. And, you know, and I thought, don't make my pap smear about you.
No.
You know, like this. Let's not be doing that.
No.
And even if you are genuinely concerned and if he's genuinely worried, back off, buddy boy. I don't need
the
that extra worry
be
and stress.
How are you or what can I do? Yeah. Not, I'm so worried about you. I'm going to frantically text you every 2 seconds to totally raise your cortisol levels about this.
And I'm not sleeping and all the stress
poor
on
baby.
Me.
Baby.
Yeah. It's pretty grim.
Poor baby not sleeping because he's so worried about the woman that he literally fucking ghosted by taking all his shit out of their house.
Did he get, was he back with the wife, the ex-wife, or was he trying to?
He did. Apparently he went back with her for a while. Then they split up anyway. He then moved on to another lady.
Right.
Did she have a spare bedroom? Was that why he moved on to her?
Probably. they got married. He moved to New Zealand for a while. Yeah. They split up. He moved back. He was then living.
How have you kept tabs on
because
this guy so
I know.
Much?
Because we did become Facebook friends. But because I was like, oh, isn't it nice to be friends with an ex-boyfriend? What an idiot, you know.
Sometimes it is, but not when that person has treated you with such disrespect.
No. And I just kept getting so caught up because the other thing was then he told me we're both ex-military and that was a draw card in the first place where we both had that lifestyle that we could
bond and connect
discuss.
Yep.
He had made up stories that he told me. And I thought that they were true because I had no reason to disbelieve them. When he split up with the other wife and moved back to Australia, he's in, am I allowed to say he's in Tasmania? If not, believe it.
Yeah,
I
don't know. Enough people there.
He's the one that's not related to everybody else in Tasmania.
And that's probably something you shouldn't say. We love our Tasmanian listeners. Thank
Sorry,
you
I didn't,
endlessly
I
for
didn't
listening
really
to
say
our
that.
Show.
He is related to them. No, he. We were talking on the phone, and he then said, I've got to come clean. Everything I said about this stuff that supposedly happened when I was in the army didn't happen.
Stolen valor is a big no-no amongst military types.
He is on a website because of that. Not because of me. Nothing to do with me. Somebody else figured out.
So
that
stolen valor is people pretending to be military. They'll stand outside of stores in a military get-up and say, can you donate to me?
Yes.
But they actually never served.
Never served or
he
had he not done any
served,
of the things
exaggerated
that he said?
Served but exaggerated. Yeah. So he was never regular army. He was army reserve.
Right.
Right.
He was in the Air Force for 5 minutes after being, you know, army reserve. But the work that he said he did, he never did. And the way he ended up on that website is he was wearing a medal that he was not entitled to wear. And you can't do
big
that.
Big no.
Yeah, so he had all kinds of, but he said, I lied about that because all this other trauma happened. So feel sorry for me and feel bad for me about this.
But how do we know this trauma is a thing now?
Exactly. So eventually, because is that trauma a thing? Then he worked out that if there was some kind of military trauma, you can get money for that.
Oh.
So then he had a repressed memory. that may or may not have come back. I don't know, you know, but that's where I eventually went, I can't deal.
You just don't need that kind of person in your life. No. There's no amount of loneliness that can make up for all that.
Yes, and that was the problem. It was only when I was lonely that I would get in contact with him.
Well, it would. It makes sense to me because of the fact that you had a good relationship up until the literal disappearance. He was one of those performative partners who was like, everything's fine until the second it's not. And it's really easy to forget that one second it's not when you have a history of things being nice before that. Yeah. And so I don't blame you at all for that. That's a perfectly natural response to that. But you just need to have a support network of friends around you to be like, remember that time he dumped you by note and you'd already paid a deposit on a new place?
Yeah, give Star Wars guy a ring. Give him a bell.
Here's his Endor phone number.
Yeah. So then I did have a lovely relationship for a while and got married and had a child and, you know, and all of that. Great. And then that kind of it just went its course, mm-hmm. and that was the end of that. And then I dated a guy who was in the theatre, and I thought, this is amazing.
Here we go.
Because now I'd never dated an actor, and that will be great because he knows where I'm coming from. So that didn't go so well.
Yeah. No. Look, I'm an actor myself, and I've got a saying, fucking actors.
quite apt.
Now, I think this is the guy that I remember. Yeah, so yeah. Libby and I have done a show together, and I remember that this guy, we'd talk about him backstage, and he was referred to as the sanctimonious turd.
That's the I one. Believe.
Yeah.
Now, knowing all of the actors I know in this here town, there's many faces that could that spring up. So dear readers, we have no idea who they're talking about. It might have been me. Did we date?
Maybe briefly.
There's a lot I blacked out in my life.
So what was it about theatre guy that you were like, yes, and then no?
I think the main thing that was the yes was we did a show together, and I thought,
there's an energy that happens in a rehearsal room sometimes when you're just like, hey you, how you doing?
Yeah. So he would, and as much as he was a nasty person, he was a great actor.
I hate that because then you have massive talent crushes.
Yeah. Yep. So I really like
and then you
his
forget that
presence.
They're not the person that they are on stage, that they're actually a jerk, not this. Yeah.
That's it. So we, you know, we started chatting and all, and he had told me that he and his wife were separated. Red flag. Were separate, but still living in the same house.
I want a signed note from the separated partner when people tell me that.
I want to notarize the whole
thing. See, I didn't think too much about it because when I split up with my husband, we lived together for 3 months while we sorted out what to do with the house. He was in the spare room. And then when the house sold, we took our money and we went our separate ways. So when old mate said, you know, we're separated until we sort out what to do with the house, I had no reason to not believe him.
Yeah.
We started hanging out. He came over. Now, by this stage, I was living with my little daughter and in a house that I bought. He came over, he liked my house. It was bigger than I needed. It was a 5-bedroom house. And when he was discussing stuff, he had 2 children, but one of them was older. And he said, if ever we moved in together, you know, the younger one would come. And so it got very serious very, very quickly. Mm. If ever we moved in together, that room could be son's room. You know, all of
that's very future seductive when people planning, tell you that kind of future planning and rushing into it very quickly.
We went to open homes because then it'd be nice to live on acreage. And he came over one day with a whole big planner.
Is this like this real estate love bombing? Yes. Is this
is
a thing?
No. Well, it's because it was then so nice to walk into these open homes. What made me angry is he got my kid involved. She came too.
No.
So she's looking at open homes with us. In the meantime, she was 11 or 12, and he came over one day and he's wearing sneakers, and she's like, oh my God, he's wearing sneakers. So from then on, he wore Vans, he wore Converse, he, you know, like he was going all out to impress the kid. He put shelves up in her room. He did everything to get her on side. We spent this entire day looking at open homes, bumped into somebody I know. So, you know, then it becomes real because everything. And we were supposed to be going to a Halloween party together, and it was a dress-up thing, so we were going to do like the Gomez and Mrs. Gomez.
Morticia.
Yeah. That's her name.
Mrs. Gomez.
Mrs. Gomez. And then he pulled out of that at the last minute. And I had started going, oh, because at the theatre there was another theatre group nearby that he had been doing a lot of stuff. So when we did our show, some of those people came to watch, and he was like, oh, not all of them realise that wife and I have split up. So we'll just play everything down.
Yes.
Red flag. Yeah. Didn't see it. Didn't see it because, again, I had no reason not to trust him. But when so I just avoided the other people that night. But when he was talking to especially two of the girls in that group, when he talks to you and if he's being intense – He holds your elbow. So he'll reach his hand out and he'll sort of cup your elbow as he's talking. And he did that with two of those girls. So afterwards I said to him, hey, did you have a thing with either of those girls? I just thought you were a bit close. You know, you looked like you were just really friendly. And it was, no, you're jumping at shadows. You're seeing things that aren't there. You know, you're overthinking everything. And and then things started happening where I started going, oh, that's a bit weird. And every time I asked him about it, you're jumping at shadows.
No, you're crazy.
You're making things up. You're crazy. You know.
See, people who actually don't have anything to hide would just say no. They wouldn't be like, no, right. But you.
Yeah.
The projection. Yeah.
Yes. So then he said, hey, look, let's back it off for a while. I need to get everything sorted out at home. But I really want to get all my ducks in a row and I want to turn up on your doorstep one day and surprise you. So, of course, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, you know, he needs a bit of time and he needs to get his stuff sorted out back there. So I'm sitting at home. Meanwhile, a friend of mine is going, hey, you should come and meet my friend. He's really, really nice. And I'm like, no. Because
and everybody else is like, yes, just do it.
That's it. No, because, you know, the sanctimonious turd is going to come back. And then I start seeing posts where this other girl is tagging him in things. It had kind of – I had realised then I don't think he was ever actually separated from the wife.
Nope.
You know, so that started dawning on me. He was not separated from the wife. What did she think about all of this? What, you know, was he – how did he explain away where he was for hours at a time and, you know,
travels
and
for
all
work,
of that?
Libby.
Could well be. So then he starts hanging out with this other girl, and I thought – I didn't trust him by this stage, so I went to her and said, hey, is something going on with you guys? And she – No, we hardly know each other. Oh, you know, you're reading way too much into things. You're overthinking it, you know. And I thought, oh, my God. So I actually started thinking I was going crackers, right? There was a night at the theatre that we were all going to together. It was a fundraising night. And it was just after I had asked her that. No, we hardly know each other. And afterwards he hardly spoke to me through the night, but I still stupidly had in the back of my head that he's getting his ducks in a row.
Oh, yep, those ducks.
You know,
they're getting
and anytime
he's
going to – tricky to get in a row,
they
those
are,
ducks. They run around.
They do. So, but after that show, he bailed me up in the corner of the foyer outside the theatre and was doing the pointing in my face and how dare you ask her, and if you want to know anything, come and ask me. And that was a hideous experience in itself, because not one of those people who witnessed that came over and said, are you okay?
They all did that.
Oh, they're having a private moment. We'll just turn our back and pretend that we're not seeing any of it. Right. And he's a taller man. And my back was literally in a corner. The girl I asked about that both of them said, they're now married.
Uh-huh, nothing. Right? You're so crazy.
Exactly. So finally, the other wife, I don't know what happened there, but they did split up. He immediately moved in with the new one. But that's when I went, oh, hold on, he was sizing up my house. Because he doesn't work. He does bits and bobs. Mm. But, you know, his wife had a full-time job. This new lady has a decent amount of money because of family
You've
stuff.
You've got a five-bedroom house.
I've got the five-bedroom house.
Yep.
He had sons, but he did have a because it's anonymous, I can say this. He did have a daughter that he had nothing to do with from a pre- – apparently the lady didn't want him, you know, in the daughter's life.
I wonder
and I,
why.
Uh-huh, but I always – I got this thing of – because the new wife has daughters. The two ladies at the theatre that I thought he had something going on with had daughters. And I think he was trying to capture that. Well, if I can't have my own daughter in my life,
right,
I will find a semi-successful, can stand on her own two feet female that, you know, has a house and has her act together and everything. And it's a bonus if she's got daughters because then
that's
I get
my
to
happy
have
family. A surrogate, yep. Yeah,
that's my happy family. So he's now married. And unfortunately, we were supposed to be sort of on the same theatre committee for that place. But that didn't go so well, especially with the lack of support from those people then just turned their backs. So I don't have a lot to do with them anymore. But the guy that I didn't meet, but my friend was trying to introduce me to because I was waiting for these ducks to be bloody sorted, is the guy I'm now married to.
Yay!
So there is, you know.
Silver lining. We did it.
Yeah. So that turned out well in the end.
Yes, good.
Congratulations.
Thank God after those dating stories. My Lord. Wow. So, Libby, all of these red flags, what have you learnt now after going through all of that? What are a couple of the lessons that you learnt along the way?
Pay attention to that gut feeling.
Because you were right in that first instinct. You were
When you get that thing that's just something's not quite right here, you've really got to listen to it. And unfortunately, sometimes your friends are not correct because like with the, you know, sanctimonious turd, a lot of my friends were going, oh, he's so lovely. Oh, he's so lovely. Because he's got that charm.
It's an actor thing. Yeah. They charm everyone. Sorry, Tom. I know, like, we're actors,
I'm a bad actor, so that doesn't apply. It doesn't apply
you're
to
fine.
Me. Yeah, no, good actors can sell anything. That's what you're dating good actors. That's
the
your
leading
problem.
Man type.
Yeah.
They're just like, let's charm everyone and smile, and they've got a little glint on their fucking teeth when they smile, and everyone's like, they're so wonderful.
Because the thing is, too, he was not an attractive man. You know, he was attractive because his talent was big and because he had the gift of the gab. But you look at him and you wouldn't think he was a player because he just did not. If you saw him in the street,
the
you
confidence.
Wouldn't give him a second look.
It's the confidence.
It's the confidence. Yeah.
Absolutely. And there is something, and not just actors, there is something to seeing someone do something well.
Yes.
Do something
I know.
Well. There is
I
something
have,
to it where you're just like, fuck.
I have
the
made
way you're doing.
Many mistakes in my life. By watching someone do the thing that they do well and going, hey, how you doing?
Uh-huh.
Like, big mistake.
So maybe, maybe that's a little speed bump to keep an eye out for on the road, everybody. You know, don't get pulled in by that trap fully.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder what would have happened if you had just broken up with Star Wars guy. Like an adult, you know,
instead of
flying to Sydney, you know, he could have gone a whole different way.
When you moved, did you take all your stuff and just leave him?
Oh
no,
God, yes.
No, thank goodness
okay,
I didn't.
Okay, so you prepped him. He knew. Okay, good.
I was quite a grown up about it.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
as much of a grown up as you can be when you move states.
When you
literally
states.
Get rid of someone. My lesson is not so much about the red flags, but it's if you see somebody having an argument where somebody is being physically intimidating to the other person, for the love of God, as long as it's safe, Or even if it's not safe, call someone. Yeah. And if it is safe, please step in. Yes. I've gone up to someone before who looked like they were being hassled by a guy and I pretended that I knew her. I was like, hey, Tiffany, it's so great to see you. And she's like, oh, no, this is my boyfriend. But thanks, girl. Like, it's one of those things where if you feel like – and this is another trust your gut moment. If you feel like something's wrong, like – most of these domestic abuse and you know, emotional abuse situations happen because everyone goes, that's their business.
Yeah, that's right.
And there are more – statistically, people are more likely to respond to someone yelling fire than help because they think they shouldn't get involved in something when someone yells help. So if you see someone having an animated, physically intimidating argument, please try and do something.
That's right. I'm piggybacking your lesson learned because it was mine. Private moments, you know, that's such a nice excuse to not get involved with someone having a screaming match on this. Oh, they're having a private moment. But a private moment is indoors and it's a conversation. Mm. It's a moment. It's not a fucking extravaganza of tears. And so I'll say it to – I'll direct this to men. If you do – where it's easier for us to stand in and say something
patriarchally speaking, yes, society accepts a man stepping in more than they expect.
But we're not going to get hit or abused. It could happen, but I think we could. It's easy to say, love you.
With great power comes great responsibility. Yeah,
but I think it is an easier thing than we want to believe to go, love you, right here. Just check in 2 seconds and then go.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
So. Good lessons learned.
And I've got one other lesson.
Please, pile them on.
Because I've had the experience with a few of my friends where they have had that gut feeling, but it's been based on baggage. So it's not necessarily a true gut feeling. It's because they're scared of something that's happened before. They get the gut feeling. Mm. So what I want to say to that is that you will get gut feelings about things and you need to weigh up the evidence. It's something that my shrink always says to me is they go, write down on a piece of paper, what evidence do you have to back up this feeling? And if you start looking into your mind and going, okay, well, I was feeling uncomfortable because he was touching that woman on the arm and because I don't really know much about the wife and because – so then you can start to realize if your response to that is proportionate or not proportionate because sometimes it can be in your mind, not always, and I'm not saying discount your gut feelings, but you actually tend to notice so much when you can sit down and dig deep and look at the evidence because then you're like a detective. You might have sat there and missed a clue earlier that because you're now addressing it and deliberately trying to think of it, you'll notice, you know, a clue that you didn't notice before. So, check in with yourself and write down the evidence that you have to feel the way that you feel.
If your hackles are rising at a situation, is it a genuine concern or is it the shadows of the echoes of something in your past?
And look, 9 times out of 10 it's genuine because women are psychic, magical unicorn gypsies. Absolutely. And we know terrifying. Everything and you terrifying. Can't lie to us ever.
Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah. But yeah, Libby, thank you so much for joining us. Before we go, did you want to have a little bit of a plug for your company, AdLib? Tell us what you do and we'll pop some notes in the show notes.
So AdLib is a boutique casting agency based in Queensland, but we provide role players all over Australia. And I have 75 role players / simulated patients on the books, all trained through me. And yeah, we go out for all different locations. So universities, training institutes, leadership management courses, those sorts of things, a lot of health group things. And it's nice and easy, one-stop shop for picking up your role players.
Wonderful. We'll put some links to that in the show notes. If you'd like to come on and plug something that you do, all you got to do is exchange us a dating story for it. It's pretty easy.
That's right. That's the deal. That's the deal.
That's notcanon.com/ Ghost of Boyfriends Past. We've got a handy dandy little form that you can fill out. Or you can just email us, ghostofboyfriendspast@gmail.com.
And don't just email us if you have a story. We would love that. But if you have a response to a question that ever gets asked on this or an input or better advice than what Elizabeth and myself can put out.
If you shouted at your radio while I listen to my podcast in the car. So if you shouted at your phone or the podcast when we were saying something, you're like, no, but I blah blah blah, we want that story, we want that info, we want your help, You can join Ghosts of Boyfriends Past Group Therapy, which is our little group where you can post memes, you can post questions, you can help answer other people's relationship questions, and it's quite a self-sustaining little group. So if you're not quite ready to come on air yet, but you've got a question to ask That's or you right. want to give some help, join
Dip
there.
Otherwise, rate and review the show. We know we ask that every week, but it does genuinely help, and it does genuinely light up our hearts when we know that there's more readers coming aboard, that we're helping more people. It's a very nice feeling. So thank you for that, and keep doing it.
And the thought that I would want to leave you on, other than go buy tickets to see Bombshells, yes. is just don't break up with someone by post-it or note. Just don't fucking do it.
When you walk through an art museum, what happens?
You see some interesting things, you see some not so interesting things, and if you're like me at all, you're probably a little bit sleepy.
Well, grab a cafecito and listen up. It's Art Slice, a palatable serving of art history.
I'm Russell Shoemaker.
I'm Stephanie Duenas. We are not your daddy's art history podcast. We are both artists, so we look at art history through that perspective. We cover the artists you know and those that have been ignored for so many different reasons.
We look at the context of the time, we compare to today.
We don't dumb anything down, but, and this is a big but,
Hey-o.
We like to have a good time, okay? Nos gusta to goof around, all right? We have hungry pantry moms that might startle you. It's a long story.
We feed them art materials. Art is just a visual language, so in order for us to interpret what we think it's saying, we hijack the work.
Right. How do you like that for an art heist?
Exactly. And ultimately, we decide if it belongs in our Art Slice Museum on top of the Art Slice Hilltop.
So if this all sounds good to you, join us on Art Slice. A palatable serving of art history.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The Ancient and Esoteric Order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.